This message is brought to you by the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry, and I'm Pastor Schulze. Aren't we thankful today that we have the Word of God, the Bible, to preach from? There are different interpretations of the Word of God, but thank the Lord, we all in Christendom use the same Bible, going back to the same ancient Greek and Hebrew texts. Before I continue with my message on the book of John, let us pray. Now, Father, we pray now for thy sacred anointing to dwell upon this needy servant for the declaration of the unsearchable riches of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Today we shall look again at John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is a condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. My message today is Jesus loves a condemned world. Jesus loves a condemned world. Not a good world, not a righteous world, but he loves a condemned world. How much love does it take to love a condemned person, a prisoner, someone on death row, a criminal? God loves this perishing, condemned world. And God wants to save this perishing and condemned world. If this world would not be in a state of perishing, if this world would not be condemned, then we would not need a Savior. We need a Savior because the world is perishing and is under the condemnation of death. So this ought to put some evangelical spirit or missions spirit into our spiritual bones. There's a general impression throughout Christendom that the world is good, or at least that the world is good enough that most everybody will go to heaven. In a Gallup poll taken in the United States not too long ago, 92% of people said that they expect to go to heaven. In other words, they say America is good, is not condemned. And that's because the message of God's love has been so much, so loudly, so repeatedly, that most all people in this country believe that in the end, this loving God will not allow anyone to go to this terrible place called hell except the extremely wicked people. But just the opposite is true, that most people will not make it to heaven because Jesus said the road to life is narrow and few there are that find it, and the road to destruction is broad. But the good news is that God sent his Son to save this perishing world that is, spiritually speaking, already on death row. It says here in our text that everyone who does not believe in the Lord Jesus, and the full meaning of that word believe is anyone who does not trust and adhere to and hold to Jesus, is condemned already. So this is why it says Jesus did not come to condemn the world, because condemnation has already taken place. You don't have to double condemn the world. The world's already condemned because Jesus said that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And that does not only include people outside the church, but many, many people inside the church. Capernaum, a very religious city, was condemned because Capernaum, although they had Jesus in their midst, although they believed in Jesus, did not repent of its evil deeds. And so Jesus said it would have been better for Sodom and Gomorrah if the mighty works had been done in those cities than it is for the city of Capernaum. So we need to know that people who are not dwelling in the Lord Jesus Christ are in a terrible, terrible condition, whether they're in or outside the church. For Jesus said in John 15 that we need to abide in Jesus. That's where our life's at. It's in Jesus. And then he said, if a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Because the world is condemned, and it is in a state of perishing in her sins, we as Christians, as followers of Jesus, must be strong witnesses for the Lord. We must realize that we are called ambassadors in order to bring a perishing, condemned world to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are God's instruments, called to take people who are spiritually speaking on death row, off death row, to bring them to a beautiful life in Jesus. So there's a great responsibility on those who follow the Lord, not only to witness and warn people outside, but also inside the church. And this is why God said to Ezekiel, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. God is telling Ezekiel to warn the house of Israel. And the house of Israel represents the church. Then God continues to say to Ezekiel, When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest them not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Please observe again that God called this precious servant Ezekiel to warn the wicked believers who would not repent and turn to God. He said, if you don't do it, you will be held accountable on the day of judgment. So we have the responsibility, a divine responsibility, to preach the gospel, to share the gospel. We must press through our shyness, our backwardness, the fear of man, in order to reach the precious lost souls all about us, because the sentence of death is upon them, as it once was upon us. This is a story of lost humanity. The trial is over. The sentence has been passed. The sentence is condemnation. And only one thing that's pending, and that's the execution of the judgment. God so loved the world. God loves this condemned world, and God gave his son Jesus to die for this condemned world, that through us declaring his good news of the gospel, salvation and happiness might come to them. Now, I want you to know, it bothers me that I have not won more souls to Jesus. It bothers me most every day. Doesn't it bother you if it stops bothering you that you have not won more souls to Jesus to take them out of this awful spiritual condition? My friend, then you'd better have your spiritual blood pressure checked to see if you still have any spiritual life left within you. Even if I had won 1,000 or 10,000 souls to Jesus, it would still bother me. As long as there's one soul left on the face of the earth who has not received our precious Lord. Oh, may it never stop bothering me that I'm such a poor soul winner. And this, my friend, should never stop bothering you. It is this bother that keeps me at witnessing, that keeps me at speaking for Jesus and sharing the good news, and at waking up the sinner who is asleep in his spiritual darkness. Yes, may we have the boldness of Jesus. When he spake to Nicodemus, Jesus forgot about acceptable conversational etiquette. He forgot about acceptable human behavior. And instead of responding to Nicodemus' introduction, Jesus went right at the heart of the matter, saying to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Marvel not, I say unto you, you must be born again. Oh, we can say all kinds of lovely and wonderful things about the Lord. We can say that to someone, aren't we thankful that the Lord's given us a wonderful day, or hasn't God blessed us? But I'll tell you, dear ones, we need to say something that the Holy Spirit can get a hold of, that will bring conviction to that soul, that will take that soul out of its slumber, out of its ignorance, to make that precious one cry out to God for mercy, for forgiveness, and for cleansing. Did you ever, my friend, do what Jesus did with Nicodemus? Did you ever walk up to a stranger, a doctor, a lawyer, a policeman, a teacher, and say without any introduction, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God? I want to tell you about my first convert. When I was about 19 years of age, I had to spend 1 year and 4 months in a hospital. When I was laid up, a university student came to visit me, and he was shy and backwards, and I was shy and backwards, and so during the 20 minutes of us being together, neither one of us said a single word. We just looked around and looked at each other, very uncomfortable. But during the whole time, I felt a sense of urgency, and I prayed in my heart, "Jesus, help me! Jesus, help me!" I cried in my heart. This is a lost sinner. He's under the sentence of condemnation, and I'm responsible for him. So finally, after 20 long minutes, he said, "Well, I've got to go." And he was ready to leave. And I said to him, "This was my last chance." I said, "Kim, you need to give your heart to Jesus." As far as I recall, Kim didn't say goodbye. He just walked out. And I thought I'd never see him again. But glory, glory, glory. Kim Burke went home that afternoon. He knelt at his bedside. He gave his heart to Jesus. And his name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, praise the Lord. I want to tell you, my friend, whenever I have been direct and straight to the point, as Jesus was with Nicodemus, God has been able to do more with my witness than when I was trying to be diplomatic and smooth, trying to make me look good by the time it was all over. The second convert I had was just a year later. It was also another student. I lived in a 2- or 3-story apartment building, and there were 2 or 3 other students on the same floor attending the university. And each time this one young man, his name was Joe, came by, I threw a scripture verse at him. I didn't know anything about witnessing, about soul winning. I never read a book about it, had a class about it. All I knew was to pray, to read the Bible, and to memorize a lot of scriptures. So every time Joe came by my door, I would throw a scripture at him. It could be anything. I mean anything between Genesis and Revelation. It could be in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And this went on for months and months. I tell you, dear ones, there's power in the Word of God. I'll never forget that one day when there was a knock at my door, and there stood Joe with his head hanging down just a little bit, and he looked real sober, and he said, "I need to get saved." And I said, "Come on in." He knelt down at my bedside and received the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear ones, do you know that Joe was a president of his youth group in his church? He was raised in a religious home, but he never had given his heart to the Lord, and he was not a follower of Jesus. His religion was no better than the religion of the people at Capernaum. We need to witness to a perishing, to a condemned world, and we must stop waiting till the Spirit urges us, till we have a feeling for it, because there's hardly ever a time when it's time for me to witness that I feel like it. We already have the commission. All that's left is for us to obey the commission and to do it. This is why the Apostle Paul told Timothy, he says to him, "Preach the word, whether it is favorable or unfavorable, whether it's convenient or inconvenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome." Oh, let's keep sharing the word. Yes, the message of today is God so loved the world. But what kind of world is it? It is a perishing world. It is a world under the sentence of condemnation. And you and I must tell the lost in this perishing world, in and outside the church, of their need to let Jesus be the Savior and their Lord. If we don't do it, dear friend, who will? May it bother you, as it bothers me, that you won so few souls to Christ. May we continue to press on, sharing this greatest of all stories ever told. Jesus came from heaven to die for us. He rose from the dead. He now lives for us, and He ever makes intercession for us, that we might finish the work that He began to do. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry, and goodbye now until next week. In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.